Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button to join us today to Edge God In. That's right. There's enough ego driving the bus these days. So this is an invitation to edge God back in to your words, your thoughts, your deeds, your actions, and truly just to give yourself permission to experience the incredible, profound love of God that no eye has seen, no ear can fully comprehend. We just get those momentary hits of refreshment and graces within our lives that let us know we are not alone on this journey of life, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You can visit us at edgegodin.com for previous podcasts, as well as the one sheet under each of those podcasts there, and a little summary in terms of the learning objective for each podcast, as well as the verses and a prayer. It's just a longer version, or you can go to your app, whatever app that is for your that you access the podcast on, your podcast app, and just simply look up Edge God In. If you're inspired by what you hear, share the good word, get the word out. Today's topic, no shocker on this one, end times, up your sheep game. That's right. End times, up your sheep game. The learning objective is when you exit this podcast that you will learn from Jesus how to be ready, how to suit up in the ring, suit up to be prepared in the ring, how to Galatians 6 life. Galatians 6 is the armor, helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, so that when Jesus returns, you are ready. It's not a matter of if, my friends, it's a matter of when. And things are getting heated up out there, just saying. So this podcast is dedicated to really pulling on the word of God in such a way as to champion your human potential in Christ so that you can be the best you you could possibly be in, through, and with the lover of your soul, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God is after you, and he's constantly calling you closer. He adores you. He loves you enough not to leave you where you are at. So a little prep thought for you before you continue listening. What are three things that you want to be attentive to? Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move me, bump me during this podcast. I give you permission to bump me. I'm tuning in today. It's no coincidence that I'm guided to this podcast today. So what's for me from this podcast? Give me one to three things, dear God, that can help remove blocks from me experiencing your love for me, your purpose for me, as well as to draw me even closer in behaviors that showcase my intimacy with you. Show me what that looks like today. Thank you that you love me so much beyond what I could comprehend. And give me the grace to be attentive. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's jump in. If you have your Bibles, I've mentioned this before. I call this my old Coach Dan Stavely Bible. Why do I call it that? I accepted Christ when I was 17. I headed out from Long Island, New York to CU Boulder. And I knew absolutely no one. It gives you a little insight into my personality. Manifest destiny. And I prayed after I accepted Christ my senior year. I applied to two colleges because I knew I loved Colorado, CC and CU. Got into CU, got waitlisted at CC. Loved the foothills and the lower humidity. I was pretty vain, actually. Still, God was working through and always is working through helping me to die to the flesh and to live for him. And so I loved the way the no humidity made my hair look. Just saying. In Long Island, I looked like Rosanna Dana. When I came to Colorado, it was just sleek and straight and everything I'd always wanted with hair. So that was definitely a pull factor, right? As an 18-year-old young girl that was just saved by Christ, but still very much walking in the flesh. God is constantly pruning us for growth. So I ended up out here in Colorado, and he brought me some mentors, lots of different mentors. I was very active in Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Coach Dan Stavely was a mentor to many people. He was in his 70s and he met me at Perkins every week and opened the Bible to me and the power of Scripture to me. And so I will have, as I'm reading through here in the book of Matthew, in this Bible that I've had since I was a freshman in college back in 1985. That's right, 1985. And I will have little marks in here that he would say, Old Coach Special, OCS. And so it means a lot to me because he's with the Lord now. So I'm looking at Matthew chapter 24, signs of the end of the age. Let's be attentive. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you." So that is a invitation for all of us to pause and reflect. What is deceiving me in my life? And dear God, protect me from being deceived. We're told by Jesus in the end times that deception will increase. Not the first rodeo here with this reference to deception, by the way. As evil increases, deception increases. Many things will come, smoke and mirrors. Jesus goes on to say, you'll hear rumors of wars and all kinds of stuff that could literally toss you out of yourself, hijack you out of yourself very quickly and result in sleepless nights, increase in anxiety, a sense of trepidation. My background and part of the work I'm called to do is in stress management. So I'm seeing and witnessing firsthand, frontline, a lot of increase in underlying, just subtle, below the line frequency of anxiety around safety. Am I okay? Three fuels to fear are, am I okay? Can I handle this? And I might die. Now, when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer back in 2006, given 5 years to live during that time, they were trying to get me 5 years. That was a very real fear. Now, it could be a death to ego. If I don't get this promotion, if these people don't see me in a certain light, if this relationship doesn't work out, there's those deaths, those many deaths that Jesus says, do not fear, draw near. And so as he's talking about the end times here, let's just be attentive in terms of some clues of what he's saying, what he's inviting us to prepare us, really. I've mentioned this before, but I trained for 17 years in Taekwondo, and I had the opportunity to be in the Colorado State Championship, World Taekwondo Championship. And before that year, I practiced 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. And within the first 3 minutes of my first round, I was knocked out by an illegal hook kick to my head. And I did come back. I couldn't see out of my right eye. I do remember I lost all skill set, but I came back. I actually ended up competing in a couple different rounds and matches and ended up with a silver medal. Yet my eighth degree black belt's trainer, who was very wise and also very close to the Lord, walked by me and said, you lost, even though I'd won a medal. And oftentimes that happens to us on this journey, and Jesus wants to prepare us with the skill sets so that we do not lose. And this is a huge loss. That was just a medal in the ring, my friends. We're talking about life and death, blessings and curses. And so this is a chapter in Matthew to really lean into and camp on and ask the Holy Spirit, wow, where do you want to up my game so that I am successful in the ring of life? First thing he tells us is watch out that no one deceives you. So how do you watch out so that no one deceives you? You stay close to Christ and the Word of God and the sacraments, and you allow the Holy Spirit to permeate through you to give you that wisdom. Don't touch that. Look more into that. Don't just listen to that side. Listen to this side. You do more research on this. I believe that I wouldn't be here if God didn't move me to do that, because even after 2 years of chemo, 6 weeks of daily radiation, 14 surgeries, additional treatments for 5 years, and double mastectomy, and a MRSA staph infection, lots of things that hit me during those 5 years. Lost my hair, breast, eyebrows, all physical stuff. if I hadn't been moved by the Holy Spirit to start thinking outside the box and be open to other solutions, other perspectives of healing, I don't believe I would still be here today. And so he guided me to some other options like drinking aloe vera, chloroxygen, cellular defense, removing all sugar, which was kind of a thing anyway for me, but not drinking alcohol, just the things that fuel cancer cells, making sure my body's oxygenated, alkalined, and my immune system is strong. And so that was outside the box type thinking compared to the Western tradition of treating disease, which is to prescribe, is to diagnose and prescribe, diagnose and prescribe, diagnose and prescribe. And so God didn't want to leave me there. He wanted to heal the issue. So that opened up a whole box to think differently, so that I wasn't deceived by just one way. And so open up your eyes, your heart, ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to respond. What is truth? What is falsehood? I do not want to be deceived. Don't allow human beings to place truth in your heart unless you've checked it with the creator of the universe. Watch out that no one deceives you. Jesus says this. Then he says as in verse 4, chapter 24, verse 4, then he says, again, another invitation. Because of the increase of wickedness, and this is in verse 13 and 14, because of the increase in wickedness, actually 12 through 14, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But, I love these buts that are just game changers. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Another invitation for training up so we can be successful in the ring. And our colors will be clear when we stand before Christ. First one, watch out that no one deceives you. Pray for protection against deception. Second one, he who stands firm in the end will be saved. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. How does love grow cold? Well, let's look at the flip side or the shadow side of love. It's fear. Fear or love. We're driven by fear or love. The next time you have a negative emotion that goes from dormant to live, simply ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Any negative emotion that's fueling your behavior, there is a fear that's lingering underneath. You might have to do a little digging with the Holy Spirit, but there's something there. And so wickedness, right? That can rob your confidence in God's love to save no matter what. Just like Jesus said, hey, don't fear those who can kill the body, but that, you know, cannot touch the soul. I've been praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan right now, because what I'm hearing there is that in Afghanistan, that there's a threat out that if you're a Christian, you don't denounce your faith in Christ, then there's going to be major consequences. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters around the world where things are tightening up and getting very heated. And it's a choice, life and death, blessings and curses. What does Jesus say? Do not fear. Do not fear the one who can kill the body. And after that, do nothing else. Fear the one who can take your soul. So stay close, my friends, to the one who is in charge of your soul. Stay close. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Dear Lord, protect our hearts and ground us in love. Protect it. Set a hedge of protection. Archangel Michael, protect us. All you angels and saints, stand guard, a hedge of protection around our love relationship with you so that our hearts do not grow cold. They grow cold by fear. Fear has many different manifestations. Fear can spill over to ugly behavior very quickly. It spills over to judgment. I am right, you are wrong. It spills over to ugly behavior in terms of physical abuse, destruction, rioting that ruins property and people's lives. Fear is a liar. it creates and whispers within the ear false identity. But Jesus says, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place of abomination that causes desolation spoken throughout the prophet Daniel, let the reader stand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now he's talking about another episode that happened. This is kind of chapter 24. We're not going to get into the details of the abomination that causes desolation. That's another topic. He's putting a couple different thoughts, a couple different pieces of wisdom in one chapter here. He goes back to talk about preparing yourself and not knowing the hour and the day. So let's keep our focus for today's podcast. What does Jesus say that will help me to be ready when he comes? One, watch out that no one deceives you. Pray against deception. Two, stand firm in his love till the end, and you will be saved. Stand firm. Do not allow yourself to be hijacked by wickedness and the minions of fear that come along with wickedness. That's a daily prayer. Armor yourself up in Galatians chapter 6. Read chapter 5 to kind of prep yourself and then jump into chapter 6. This is a very clear invitation here to prepare yourself. Stand firm. Don't give in to the fear of wickedness that's around you. Ask the Lord, though, what do you want me to do? You've given me this day in the midst of darkness and situations. How do you want me to outshine the darkness? By standing my ground in you. And sit and listen. The world screams and God whispers. God comes in the whisper. Sit and listen, and he will guide you. Later on in chapter 24, verse 40, or verse 42, Jesus says, keep watch. So watch out that you're not deceived. Stand firm to the end in God's love. Stay out of the game of wickedness. Don't give it power. Third, keep watch. What are you watching for here? What is he talking about here? Keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour the Lord will come. Then he kind of explains a little metaphor here, which I love, because he spoke in parables. This is what it means to keep watch. If the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was coming in, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house to be broken into. So let's just pause there. What have you allowed to break in between your two ears that's robbing your confidence in Christ? What thief have you allowed to break in between your two ears that is resulting in fear rather than love? Fear that you won't measure it up, fear that something physically might happen, fear that you won't be able to achieve what you want to achieve, something will be blocked, fear for your loved ones, fear. I'm preying on protection of fear because of hearing what my brothers and sisters in Christ are undergoing in terms of persecution around the world for their faith. I'm thinking, I got to up my game. Help me not to fear, and praying for them. So what is it that you're allowing to be broken into your house, your mind, your will, your emotions? Really take time. Perhaps that's your one thing you're going to take away from today's podcast. Holy Spirit, show me. What have I allowed to break in between my two ears that I'm giving power to define my sense of safety? Because you promise never to leave me or forsake me. You say not to fear the one who can take the body. So what am I giving power to? And what am I allowing to break in to rob me from that intimacy so I'm not deceived, so that I am grounded in love and not identifying with wickedness? So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you don't expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in the household to give them their food at their proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, I'll put him in charge of a lot of possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked. And that goes back to that invitation earlier. This is just a couple times he talks about wickedness. There is a spiritual battle that is increasing. You can feel it. This is a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against the things of the world. We're fighting against these principalities, the spiritual battles of wickedness that are waging war against our soul. In the end times, Jesus also says, and Paul confirms this, that wickedness will increase. People taking offense will increase. Being offended. Offense walks hand in hand with victimization. People feel helpless. Jesus crashes all of that and comes in and says, look at me. Look at me. I have the keys. I hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Follow me. So he gives us this wonderful analogy of just guarding your house. So I'm going to propose to you today to think of your house as your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the other invitation to train up so you are ready when Jesus Christ of Nazareth comes knocking on your door, so that he knows your name. So let's summarize the takeaways from, and this is the key takeaways from chapter 24 of Matthew. One, watch out that you're not deceived. Lean in with God on that. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me, I give you permission to show me where I'm being deceived. Bind, rebuke, and cast out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth by the blood of Christ, deception in your life. Before you do anything, talk to anybody, help me not to be deceived. Before you watch anything, tune into anything, help me not to be deceived. And also ask him, what do you want me to watch? What do you want me to tune into? Invite God into everything right now, more than ever right now. Second point that Jesus makes, stand firm to the end and you will be saved. Before that verse in verse 12, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Fuel, feed your love relationship with Christ. What does that look like? Just come. Come as you are. I remember when I first started following Christ, the first prayer I prayed, I was like, I haven't talked to you and I don't even know when, but I want what those people have. They're not rising and falling depending upon what's going on in the world. I want that security with you. Show me, Lord, what that's like. Spend time. Ask the Lord. If you do have fears, toss them at his feet. Help me with this. I'm afraid, Lord. Up my game. I do not want my love to grow cold for you. Increase my love for you. In fact, flip that verse just as Jesus did. And he would speak the scriptures to dispel Satan's attack in Luke chapter 4. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Dear God, I pray for your protection against wickedness. Help my love to be flourished and grounded in you, that nothing will touch it, so that I will stand firm to the end. Make these scriptures that we're reading today, Matthew 24, 4, Matthew 24, 12 through 13, and Matthew 24, 42 through the end of chapter 24, so that you can stand firm to the end. Now we're going to jump to chapter 25. The sheep and the goats, which is part of the title, up your sheep game. What does that mean, to up your sheep game? Jesus lays it out beautifully here in Matthew 25. Starting at verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. That's the sheep. That's upping your sheep game. How do we translate this into daily behavior and a change of heart? Dear Lord, help me to be a sheep that you describe in these scriptures. Give me eyes to see those who are hungry, not just physically for physical food, but hungry to know whose they are. Hungry to know that they're not alone. Hungry to know that there is another way. Those who are thirsty, that are thirsting for the things of the world that will never fully satisfy, just like the woman at the well. You knew that you had an offering of streams of living water. Help me to be your ambassador, to have the words to say to those who hunger and thirst, but they have no clue what they're really desiring. Use my mouth, my heart, to reach out to people. And if there's a physical need of hunger and thirst, help me to be the first to jump to my feet and run and get bread and run and get water. Help me to love all people as you did, to withhold judgment so that no one's a stranger to me through your strength and wisdom and discernment. Protect me from deception, though, as you said, so that I don't get wrapped up in other people's deception. But give me the grace to be your hands, your heart, your feet. I needed clothes. People need clothes. Help me to clothe those who need clothes. And not just the physical clothes, but also the spiritual and emotional clothes, to know that someone does love them. They're seen and they matter and you adore them. And help me, Lord, to be a conduit ambassador for those who are sick and in prison. I want to be your hands and your heart, your feet in this world. Send me out as your sheep. That is upping your sheep game, my friends. Let's just flip just for a moment before we end today's podcast into the goats. You don't want to be a goat. Just saying. Particularly since the end times are pushing in really tightly these days. In verse 41 of chapter 25 of Matthew, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. Then also they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or stranger, needing clothes or sick or in prison and didn't help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do, big three-letter word difference between a sheep and a goat. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But here's another but. If I'm a sheep, man, I'm praying that I'd be a sheep and my colors are clear. I don't know about you. Praying for you as well. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. What are the righteous? Those who seek God, those who are grieved over wickedness. Are you grieved over wickedness? Or have you become hard-hearted, cold because of wickedness? Basically desensitized. Dear God, we give you permission to help our hearts to break over the things that break your heart. Unsensitize us to wickedness so that we would grieve over wickedness. This is spoken about in Ezekiel. It's also spoken about in Revelations, that the people who grieve over the wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah, grieving over the wickedness of the society, sad, praying for the salvation of souls, they received a mark on their head. And what's interesting through the etymology of the mark, it was actually a sign of the cross in Ezekiel, in terms of the mark that was referenced way before Christ entered the scene. He has a marker in your heart, and he desires you today, wherever you are at, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. He has a plan for you today. Be attentive so that you are not deceived, so that your heart does not become cold because of wickedness around you, or you get hijacked and start to participate. Pray for protection so that you can keep watch, so that you are ready when he comes again. And ultimately, pray for the grace to be a sheep that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 25. Lord, I know you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us. You have plans to give us hope and a future. I want to be an active participant in that. And I know one of the first steps is complete surrender and then inviting the Holy Spirit to fill me up. So today I surrender my mind, my will, my emotions under the authority of your presence in my life. Fill me up with the Holy Spirit so that I can be used on the front lines as these end times push in. Grant us the grace to outshine the darkness. Let's flip before we close shop here today to Revelations, if you have your Bible. Very interesting. First three chapters of Revelations. Again, Jesus' words, that's our title. End times, up your sheep game, right? Learning objective is to learn from Jesus. How can we suit up and be ready? In Revelations chapter 1, 2, and 3, and 4, it's a very powerful read. I'll just point out a few scriptures here. In chapter 2 of Revelations 2, 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat at the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Verse 26 of chapter 2, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end. Are you seeing the connection here? Same Jesus that was cranking out the guidance and the prep work that he's inviting us to do in chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew. In the end times, do not be deceived. In the end times, stand firm to the end so that your love will not grow cold. Because I'll tell you what, it gets tough. And there were so many times when I was going through the dark night, and there's still times I'm just tossed out of my spirit into the flesh, and I get hijacked. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and how quickly can we return to the lover of our soul so that our heart does not become hardened, so that we can overcome. Chapter 3, verse 5, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never erase his or her name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his or her name before the Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. My coaching question to you at this moment is, what do you want to overcome in order to grow closer to Jesus Christ so that you are prepared when he returns? What is it? Invite the Holy Spirit to show you what is blocking my ability from experiencing your love in my life. Show me so that I can rebuke it, cast it out in your name, and draw closer. So I will never erase his name from the book of life. I don't know about you. I want my name in that book. And you could be real bold about that. Dear God, give me the grace to overcome, because I want to be able to hear and have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches right now. I want to hear right now, in time. John was inspired to write this, had this revelations when he was exiled to the island of Patmos. Now, for me, here, today, 2021, train me up so that I can overcome. Because I want to eat at the tree of life. I want to be able to overcome. And I want to do your will to the end. Because you'll give me authority over the nations, with the nations. There'll be things that we don't even understand. Jesus even says in chapter 3, verse 2 of Revelation, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. I want my name in the book of life. Dear God, show me what you want me to release and die to, step away from, expand, do more of, do less of, in order to be present with you. Move me to want to do what you want me to do. We can do nothing on our own, by the way. It's not a bunch of acts of service to a law. It's a matter of a transformation of a heart. You want to do these things when you experience the love of Christ. You want to stay close. You want to pray for those who are experiencing profound wickedness right now, and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 12, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down and is from heaven, from God. I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Dear God, give me an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying to the churches. And finally, the last time of the statement in chapter 3 of overcoming, to him who overcomes, verse 21, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So perhaps that's your one takeaway. That little prayer repeated many times in the first couple chapters of Revelations. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. 2 Timothy, also a litany of mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. So I'm going to read through this, just a list of 18 things. You can take this list, you can go to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and you can ask the Holy Spirit, okay, where do you want to refine me in these list of 18 things? What do you want to do so that I can step away from these things? As he's saying here, Paul is writing to Timothy in the book of Timothy, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, disobedient to their parents, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Do not touch, do not taste. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. Lean in, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lean in to 2 Timothy to see what the Lord has for you in those scriptures for preparation. Again, Paul is on board, as are the disciples, as you're reading through the scriptures. Perhaps it's even pride, you know, Lord, hey, God has put me through that school class. I'm hoping to pass it before I stand before him. He keeps coming back up because he loves us. By the way, he loves us profoundly. And it says that God rebukes and disciplines those he loves so that we may share in his holiness. So don't shrink back from discipline and rebuking. Dear God, I give you permission to discipline me and rebuke me so that my name is written in the book of life. And whatever he calls you to, he's faithful. He'll give you the strength to be able to handle it. And I can speak this with such profound conviction, because when they laid out for me what I would be going through in 5 years, I threw myself on the floor and I said, I can't do this. Just take me now. There's no way I could do this. And I was going through a divorce at the same time. And calmly, quietly, I heard his voice as clear as day within my soul. I know you can't, but I can. So draw near, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We have got to train up, because things are getting really dark, and there is a lot of wickedness that's increasing. Good is seen as evil, evil seen as good, right is seen as wrong, wrong is seen as right. People are exalted for wrong, people are shamed for right. There is so much that's going on right now. Go to the foot of the cross and ask Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what part do you want me to play? The first thing that he'll invite you to do is to come close so that you can sift out what is knocking around within your own castle. Take the log out of your own eye before you can effectively, in love, have wisdom to guide other people. And that is a powerful journey that the Holy Spirit promises to be with you. Because of the wickedness and the incredible wickedness, the love of most is growing cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Up your sheep game. Pray for me. Please pray for me that I would be worthy of the promises of Christ. And I will pray for you. Give him heaven out there. And join us on the podcast if you'd like. You can go to Edge God In. You can go to your podcast app. Share the good news to edify and encourage your brothers and sisters around the world, particularly now during this time, more than ever, so that we can have ears to hear to overcome. Holy Spirit, give us the ears to hear and the heart to respond so that we have the ability to overcome any hardness of heart that perhaps might be taking root. That we would stand firm for you. Help us to encounter your love more today than any day. And I pray for anybody that's listening in today that's feeling disconnected, that's feeling lost, that's feeling confused or conflicted, that's feeling anxious or stressed or grieving in any way. Go get them. Do for them what you have done for humanity since the beginning of time. Go get those people who are suffering from that darkness and sadness and hardship. And just as you did for me during those dark nights of the soul, do for them easily and naturally. Because you are the good shepherd and you go after your sheep. We love you so much, Lord. Increase our love for you more today than yesterday. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give him heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. And we look forward to connecting with you. Please keep our ministry in your prayers. Edge God In. More today than yesterday.